Good morning, everyone. Greetings in Jesus' name to each one, and welcome. Special welcome to each of our visitors. It's good to be back again. Feels like an extra long time with being gone for 3 weeks of Bible school and then not having church last Sunday. So it's really good to be with you all again. And I just want to take this opportunity to thank each of you for the work that you put into making this past term of Bible school possible. It was a very good term, and there's a lot of work that happens to make it happen. So thank you to each one that either helped materially or with encouragement of some sort or another there. The title of my devotional this morning is Comforting Contradictions. If you would, turn with me to Matthew chapter 5. I'm going to be looking at the Beatitudes. The beginning of the Sermon on the Mount is a familiar passage. I'm just going to go ahead and read this before we go into it any further. Matthew chapter 5, verses 1 through 12. And seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets that were before you. The opening lines of one of the greatest sermons of all time reveal the seemingly contradictory nature of the kingdom of God. The things that seem right or normal to our natures are turned around. We're told things like, the poor in spirit will have the kingdom of God. Since when do poor in spirit get anything that they want? The poor in spirit are the ones that are left behind. They're the ones that have to be content with the dregs. It's the brash self-promoters that get to be rulers. It's those that push their agenda in front of everyone else that get to be kings. And we know that. You don't become a ruler without fighting your way to the top and without taking everything you want from anyone that gets in your way, do you? But Jesus says, not in this kingdom. And rather than going down through each of these verses, what I'm going to do this morning is just kind of step back and take an overview look. And I think that might help us see how some of these seeming contradictions were and are comforting to followers and seekers of Jesus' kingdom. First thing that I think of is, who was his audience? Likely. Let's jump back a little bit to Matthew chapter 4, verses 23 through 25. And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. And his fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought unto him all sick people that were taken with divers diseases and torments, and those which were possessed with devils, and those that were lunatic, and those that had palsy, and he healed them. And there followed him great multitudes of people from Galilee, from Decapolis, from Jerusalem, and from Judea, and from beyond Jordan. A very diverse group of people. Who was likely in this group of people? Likely, there were leaders in there who were worried that Jesus was angling for their position. Likely there were zealots in there who were hoping that Jesus would preach fiery words that justified their territorial ambitions and independent stance. Likely there were Pharisees who were listening critically to find holes in Jesus' theology. Likely there were scholars who were viewing with condescension a lowly carpenter's son. Likely there were just curious people wondering what's going on with all this ruckus. Maybe something's interesting. They're here to be entertained. There were the sick and debilitated people. They were there hoping for healing. They were just regular people, village folk, townsfolk, storekeepers, laborers, families. And maybe they were listening to the first time, for the first time, to someone who actually saw them as people, as individuals, as those with worth, rather than simply someone to be stepped on my way to the top. This crowd that came, this diverse group of people, what were they hoping to hear? For many, they were hoping to hear words that confirmed their bias, the idea they already had about Jesus or what they wanted him to be. They were hoping to hear words that would confirm that bias. Some of them, however, were coming to Jesus to listen, to find a way to God. And those that were looking for words to confirm their bias were confused by the contradictory nature of Christ's teachings. And the reason they were confused is because they were the center of their own lives. They thought that the point of life was to be the best, to be the bravest, the strongest, the smartest, most in control. You name it. Whatever it is that is the attitude that has me at the center of my own life. And that's confusing. What Jesus said here in the Beatitudes is confusing to someone who feels like their life is the most important. They wanted to fit God into their plan. And Jesus' words were a harsh contradiction that they couldn't grasp. But those who were looking for a way to God found it. They understood poverty. They understood being poor in spirit. They understood being at the bottom of the social ladder. They understood hunger and thirst. They understood persecution. They understood mourning. And now Jesus was telling them that through these things, through this debasement that was to our human understanding debasement, through those things they could find God. They could find joy and they could find comfort. So of that crowd that came, who was comforted? It was those at the bottom with no standing. It was those that came with no agenda other than to learn. So who is comforted by this today? It's those with the same teachable spirit, those who listen without bias, those who seek God without an agenda, those who are willing to be at the bottom with no standing, those who look for help and look to fit into God's plan. So in conclusion, am I the center of my own life? Am I trying to fit God into my plan? Maybe the reason I don't feel his guidance is because I'm listening to him with my own bias. I'm looking for my words in his mouth, and I'm confused because I'm not finding them there. Maybe I don't hear his voice because I'm more concerned about my position on a social ladder than in my position with God. I need to fit myself into God's plan for me. He is much too big to fit into my plan for him. And if I can do that, then I'll find the comfort in these seeming contradictions that are at the foundation of the kingdom of God. Let's stand for prayer. Our eternal Father in heaven, we come to you this morning, thanking you for each one that's here this morning, thanking you for your word, thanking you for the gift of your Son. And we just thank you that we can gather in this way and worship you and learn more about you and be drawn together as we draw closer to you. I pray that you'd be with Brother Murray in a special way as he brings the word to us this morning, that you would open our hearts to what he has for us. I pray that you would be with each one that is listening in as well, that you would just grant us what we need in our lives this morning. And I pray that as we go from here, we would always be shining lights for you wherever we go. In Jesus' name, amen.